prior to January 11th, they were just an important TradFi voice. Now they're going to become very big whales in this industry, and they're going to start dictating terms. And that's my biggest concern.
For more in the markets action, let's bring in Jim Bianco, president and macro strategist at Bianco Research. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to the conversation.
Me too. So obviously, you watch the markets very closely from almost all angles. But what's sticking out to you these days in particular? What are you watching today?
You know, two things. I mean, obviously, in crypto land, I'm watching the development of this, all the spot Bitcoin ETFs. The flows and the attention and the trading has been astounding. It is breaking all kind of records. And it's really, redefining not only, the crypto space, but it's also somewhat redefining ETF space. I mean, within TradFi world, what I'm watching right now is probably the Federal Reserve. The minutes come out today. And whether or not they're going, I'm going to say it this way, whether or not they're going to cut rates this year. Now, a month ago, the market thought that the Fed was going to cut rates 7 times. It has now priced that down to 3 times. And the data keeps getting stronger. They maybe even question whether or not we're going to get 3. We're going to get minutes from their last meeting on January 31st today, hopefully give us some clues on where the Fed's going to go the rest of this year.
So just quickly about the Fed, I'm curious, do you think the Fed rate cuts, if we're going to get any, is going to have an influence on Bitcoin still? Because we saw a big correlation, obviously, last year. Do you think that's going to change this year, or are we going to still see an effect on crypto markets from the Fed?
Well, yeah, and this will transition to what we're going to talk about next. I think with the advent of the Bitcoin ETF and the tremendous volume in there, that it is going to probably recorrelate Bitcoin to TradFi markets. It's going to it's going to become a version of TQQQ. That's the 3X NASDAQ 100 ETF. And if that's indeed the case, then yes, Federal Reserve policy, the direction of interest rates and the direction of the economy is going to come down on crypto just as much as it comes down on TradFi.
So let's talk about ETFs then, because obviously that's on your mind and it's on everybody's mind these days. I want to address the elephant in the room, which seems to be that you're the only person in this world that is not excited about the approval and launch of the spot Bitcoin ETFs. In fact, you said it's, quote, a giant mistake. Explain to me why you think that.
Well, I think it's a giant mistake in that everybody is celebrating it. But basically, I got two arguments. Argument one is centralizing ownership of a decentralized asset, I think, is very problematic. We saw this with the approval process of the spot Bitcoin ETFs. The SEC came in and said, you want a spot ETF, there's certain rules you have to apply by. There can't be self-custody. There can't be in-kind transfers. These are technical things about the way that the ETFs trade. And the industry said, yes, 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 whatever you want, we'll do. And you're bringing in the SEC. Now, they're not going to be able to put rules on the network, but they're going to put rules on a giant owner of the network. And that is going to have a big influence on how that the crypto space is regulated and what is preferred and what its incentives are. And I think it's a concerning issue to say we're going to have decentralized or centralization of assets in a decentralized world. And remember, there are 10 owners of these assets. BlackRock, IBIT, they're the owner. Larry Fink is the owner. Now, Larry Fink has a ledger that says there's thousands of people that I will pass my ownership of these coins on to everybody else underneath it. But Larry Fink's the owner. So if Gary Gensler calls up Larry Fink or Abby Johnson at Fidelity and says, boy, I'd really like A, B, and C, and they'd say, you're my regulator, whatever you want, we'll do. They're going to start changing things. And they now have enormous influence over the industry. Prior to January 11th, they were just an important TradFi voice. Now they're going to become very big whales in this industry, and they're going to start dictating terms. And that's my biggest concern. My other concern, which I'll admit my narrative kind of got lost, is I don't think people really appreciate what a ETF is. An ETF is Wall Street. It is the trading vehicle on Wall Street. All those traders you see sitting at desks, they're trading ETFs. If you saw the movie Hummingbird Project, where they were trying to put all of the fiber optic cables to beat the speed of light for the next guy to do high frequency trading, that was to do ETF trading. ETF trading is nearly, when you add in ETFs and the stocks underlying, it's 40% of the volume of American stock exchanges right now. It is something like $11 trillion of assets. There are whole industries of money managers that just manage ETFs. And in full disclosure, I manage an ETF, which owns other ETFs. That is a big business. Now, what I hear from the crypto crowd is, no, ETFs are a boomer project. That the, you know, bunch of old guys on golf courses are calling their wealth manager and saying, put 2% of my net worth into IBIT. That is a tiny, tiny percentage of how this industry works. And so really what you're bringing in with it is you're bringing in all of TradFi. You're bringing in the trading desks, you're bringing in the HFTs, you're bringing in some wealth managers, although I don't think it's very large right now. You're bringing in retail, you're bringing in everybody. And what you're doing is you're inviting the entire system that the Bitcoin maxis are trying to push it back from in, and that with it, you're going to get the entire system in. I think it's fantasy for anybody to say, well, the Bitcoin ETF is going to change the system. No, the system is going to swallow the Bitcoin ETF, and it's going to swallow crypto if you're not careful. That's my concern.
So first of all, sorry if you've been hearing a cat, you're not going crazy. I think my cat wants to weigh in on this too. But I want to push you a little bit on this. Why do you think people are missing that exact point that you just made? Is it just the excitement from the crypto industry that Wall Street is, you know, pushing crypto or getting into crypto more? And, you know, what's the solution here? If not through participation from Wall Street, how else can crypto achieve mainstream adoption without being sucked into the current financial system, as you described it before? Obviously, these firms, BlackRock, Fidelity and Co., want to make money and be the dominant player. So in what other way could they support digital assets without also centralizing it at the same time?
So a couple of things. It is not enough to just have one digital asset that has a hard cap of 21 million. That is excellent to have that, but it is insufficient if you are building an alternative financial system. What you need is you need custody, storage, trading, lending, staking, insurance, private ownership, which would be NFTs. You need the whole thing is what you need to have. You need to build an alternative financial system. For that, you need development, you need coders, you need VC money. That's what this industry needs. If, on the other hand, all of the attention is going to get sucked up into some short-term number go up cheerleading, then what I'm afraid of is a bunch of VCs, a bunch of money that might have invested in a new protocol, that might have invested in a better wallet scheme, are going to say, you know, let's just buy IBIT because it's going to go up and it's a lot easier, it's simpler, and we're going to make the same amount of money. That these other projects are risky, they got giant payoffs, but they've also got a high risk of not paying off, and that you're going to retard the development of this system. All technology is always started with not people just sitting around cheerleading about the value of their company. They want to become billionaires, but it's really about we have to build a better mousetrap. And I just wonder if the ETF is going to get in the way of building that better mousetrap. Whether or not it's BRC20 tokens on the Bitcoin blockchain, or it's ERC20 tokens on the Ethereum blockchain, or it's Solana or something else that heaven's come up, or level twos or whatever else we're working on, is all of this going to get pushed aside? Now, I know people are going to say no. Well, there's billions and billions of dollars that's not going into it. It's going into these ETFs. And really, the reason everybody's excited about it is they want the damn number to go up. And they want it to go up today. And they want it to go up next week. They don't want to build for a future of where it's going to be in 5 years. That's why I said, yeah, if you want 70,000 on Bitcoin, the ETF is a very good vehicle to maybe accomplish that. But if you want Cathie Wood's number of 1.3 million in 10 years, the Bitcoin ETF is going to do nothing for that. That's the way that I see it. And so you're trading the short term potentially for the long term.
So speaking of billionaires and speaking of people that want the number to go up, I don't know if you saw, but Michael Saylor was on Bloomberg TV yesterday, and he was asked if he'd consider selling some of his Bitcoin, given that him and MicroStrategy sit on a $4 billion profit. And he said that he wouldn't, because he explained that Bitcoin competes against gold and it competes against real estate, but it is still the superior asset. So it makes no sense to sell the winner and by the loser, he said. Just wondering, do you agree with him? And do you think people like Michael Saylor are becoming too powerful, and that if they sell all of their Bitcoin, it's completely going to tank the market?
Centralized ownership of decentralized assets. By the way, Michael Saylor did say that he said that Bitcoin is the exit strategy. So they asked him, what's your exit strategy from Bitcoin? And he said, it is the exit strategy from StradFi is what it is. And I largely agree with that. But you're right that centralized ownership or concentrated ownership puts an enormous amount of power in the hands of a few people. And they can make or break projects, and they can make or break directions that the industry wants to go. Michael Saylor's ownership of Bitcoin, and that's what it is actually representative of thousands of people that own it by their stock ownership and MicroStrategies. I think the industry would be better off with this 190,000 coins spread out over hundreds of thousands of different people, as opposed to one person representing all of them as being the CEO of MicroStrategy. But now that I've said that, look, I applaud the guy. I think what he's doing is a good idea. It's just my philosophy about, you know, people ask me, I'm a decentralization maxi. I want to see the most amount of decentralization in all aspects everywhere. And when I see centralization, I get very worried that we're not building a new financial system. We're just going to suck it into the old system, and we're just going to continue on with what we've had for the last 150 years with this shiny new digital toy within the old system, and not really fulfill the big promise of what cryptocurrencies are trying to do.
Thanks so much for joining, Jim. That's it for today's show. This was Jim Bianco, president and macro strategist at Bianco Research.